You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan. Hello, listeners and viewers. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We're going to kick off the show like we do every week, and that is sharing you, our amazing listeners and viewers who are using the hashtag #StrShareSunday. We will not only share you on our Instagram channel on Sunday, but give you some love here on the podcast, on YouTube, to our email subscribers. Like, it's a whole thing. So use the hashtag. Nettie, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at the Eggcorn Cabin. See? So it's kind of like Cabin C, like she's in North Carolina, so it's like a play on letters.
I love that.
The Eggcorn Cabin C, but run on words there. So here's the deal. This is what I want to highlight today about the Egg Court Cabin. Claudia, well done. Here's the deal. She has just a couple hundred Instagram followers, which is great, by the way, but she is really utilizing Reels in her content. And some of them are getting 6,000 views, 7,000 views. That's a lot of eyes on your property. And one of the things I think she did really well is she did a collaboration campaign with an influencer that probably asked to stay at her house. And you should be including this now if you're having influencers stay, asking them to produce Reels for you. They're getting a lot more views. So if you go to her account, you will see it was a fashion travel and her that went together and collaborated on a reel. And that is one that is getting a lot of views out of her reel. So please check that out. See the way that she's done that. Add this potentially to, you know, an ask if you have someone, an influencer staying in your space. But please just look at all the reels that she is producing and you'll see like she is getting a ton of views. That's a lot of eyes on her property, which we hope are converting into reservations. So well done, Claudia. And we appreciate you using our hashtag. Please give Claudia some love on her Instagram account and do some reels. Check it out. And if you don't follow Sarah and I on Instagram, we're cranking out the reels. So please give us a follow there. But let's get on to this episode. We are excited about our guest and we are going to just champion right now, getting out there, meeting people. We met this gentleman at the STR Wealth Conference. We are so thankful that we went to that because we have met so many new friends. We have so many new guests for our show. So Sarah and I just want to encourage you, if there is a local meetup in your area, if there's anything there, get out and meet a fellow host. It will change the game for you. So Sarah, who do we have on the show today?
We have a short-term rental celebrity, and I can say that with confidence. Kyle Stanley is a super host from Fresno, California, and host of the Fearless Investor Podcast. Kyle grew his short-term rental business from $3,000 to $20,000 per month in less than a year during COVID. Now he teaches other hosts to do the same through his six-figure formula. We're going to crack that formula today. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I've already learned something. Getting an influencer to post a reel. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. This is why you need to collaborate with everyone, right? Yeah. Learn new things.
Yes. Sharing audiences is the best way to grow, quote unquote, organically, right? Without paid ads. It's sharing someone's audience, right? Listeners that they probably have similar interests if it's a solid collaboration. So,
And they've spent a lot of time getting their community to know, like, and trust them. So let's share that. And Sarah and I here, this is why we have Kyle on. Like, we are about collaboration over competition. And we know that Kyle has so much to teach everyone today, including Sarah and myself. But I have a huge question because I was researching you after we met you. Were you an ex-sportscaster or newscaster? Because tell us how in the world you are now in short-term rentals when you used to have the microphone in front of you in a different way.
I thought you were going to ask me if I was a PGA golfer, because if you Google Kyle Stanley, that's the first thing that comes up.
Oh, okay.
Not me. I definitely was a sportscaster when I was right out of college. And then after finding out that is a very cutthroat industry and you have to listen to other people's demands. Turns out I was better for the entrepreneurial world. So that's where I decided to go at the age of 24.
Amazing. So then how did you find real estate? Tell us how you got here from the beginning. Our listeners want to know, even the $3,000 a month, like how'd you get there?
Yeah, honestly, it was a long and windy road. Looking back on it, I learned a ton, but I didn't have to make all the mistakes if I just put my ego aside and said, hey, who can help me, right? And that was the biggest thing is I just figured, okay, I quit the corporate world and everyone thought I was going to be so good at being a sportscaster and I just wanted to prove everyone wrong. And when you want to prove everyone wrong, you're kind of like, well, I'm just going to go do this on my own. And so I never really asked for help. I never really said, how do you build a business? How do you make it scalable? How do you do these things? And I just made a ton of mistakes. So in starting my first business, I was helping athletes get recruited to play in college. I was making their videos. And that business ended up just being something that I created unintentionally, a very low ceiling for that. So moved on to the next thing, which was multi-level marketing. Learned a ton about self-development during that time. Learned a ton about being able to be a better influencer, a better salesperson. And then from there, got into a sales position, got into a few different things to eventually where my dad ended up on his deathbed in hospice. And it was one of those moments where I was like, man, what is life really all about? Is it really about like just working your tail off and only making $70,000 a year. And like, I just didn't see how that was possible. So I said, well, what's a passive income? What are things that people keep talking about in regards to passive income? And real estate came to the forefront. So I started listening to podcasts, Bigger Pockets, the Cardone Zone, all that kind of stuff. And I got into flipping houses, and that was 2019. And then my second flip, I was like, well, what if I kept this as a short-term rental? And I pretty much 3x what I would make on it as a regular rental. And that was like, all right, cool. This is it. The short-term rentals is it. Now, how do I go buy more houses? I started looking and Googling and finding out that, hey, you can do this without owning the house. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, nah, I don't believe that. I'm going to call Airbnb. And I asked them, do I need the deed to the house? And they were like, no, you don't need it. I was
you called Airbnb?
I've never heard that in my life.
I literally called Airbnb because I just didn't believe it. I was like, this is a scam. Like, there's no way. And when they said you don't need the deed, then my next question was, well, how many properties can I have listed on my profile? And they're like, as many as you want. I was like, oh my God, this is real.
Record that call so you had proof?
Right? No, but you know, those calls, those moments that you can literally remember like the back of your hand. And I remember exactly where I was on the Fresno highway and just being like, what? You can do this? And yeah, fast forward 18 months later, I was at 20K a month during COVID. And now today we're at over 60K a month of net profits. And it's been life-changing in just 3 years.
Okay, let's talk about that. That's a big number. If you don't mind, we like to give our listeners like as much visibility as possible. So can you kind of reverse engineer that number and what you're doing, how you're doing it, and just talk us through that? Because as much transparency as you could give, we would appreciate that. And I know our listeners would too.
Yeah, so we have a combination of anything from small studios to as big as 5-bedroom cabins. Okay. And I would say in the beginning, I was just all about saying yes to everything. So first of all, it started off where I told you I owned that one. I went out and bought another property. So I owned my first two. And then I bought into the arbitrage model and started going out and doing it without owning the house and arbitraging. And naturally, in February of 2020, so really just about 6 months in, people started asking me, what about if you take my property and manage it for me? And I never heard of co-hosting. I didn't have any sort of course on that. I was just was like,
you
well, let me do some numbers.
You should have taken our course on that, Kyle.
I know, right?
Hey,
didn't even know about you guys.
I want to ask though, when you're just starting out, are all of these properties in Fresno? Can you geographically walk us along that path too?
Yeah, okay. For sure. So all in Fresno, town next door is Clovis. So Fresno and Clovis is where we're at. But yeah, so I started the co-hosting model just basically kind of trying to say, okay, it's kind of property management. So maybe I can just take a percentage. And I did it that way. And that's how we really started to grow incredibly fast, was just collaborating with other investors, other realtors, getting deals sent our way to where now we have in Fresno, Clovis, and now a little town north of us called Bass Lake. We have about 55 properties, combination, like I said, from studios all the way to 5 bedrooms. And we're actually at a point where we're trying to offload some of those underperforming properties that we said yes to in the beginning. And I would go back and I do the same thing. I would say yes to them again in the beginning because they led me to bigger properties and other connections. But now it's kind of like, these don't really make a lot of sense for our portfolio anymore. So that's kind of where we're at. Hope that answered your question.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you have let's call it the trifecta. You own some of the homes, you co-host some of the homes, and then you arbitrage some of the homes. Okay. Yes. Can you give us a breakdown of how many properties fall in each of those pillars?
We own 8 doors. We arbitrage, just added a 5-unit arbitrage complex, and we're getting rid of 2. So that puts us at 9 or 10 arbitrage.
Okay.
And that leaves us with however many the rest are co-hosting. I think that's 37. Here in Fresno. I have another business in Phoenix with a partner. We have another 10 or 12 over there, but all the income that I'm including is just in Fresno.
Okay.
With this amazing monthly net revenue, what is the most important thing for you now? Is it take home to your family, or are you putting a large portion of it into buying more real estate, especially with the changing interest rates and just the overall changing atmosphere that we're all saying, like, what's going to happen here? How are you using your impressive net profits to forage yourself?
Yeah, great question. So when I first got into this, the only goal I had was $20,000 a month. So now life is a little bit more expensive. So 25.
Plus you just got married, right? So it got a
just got married.
We had the pleasure of meeting his lovely wife too. So I think his expenses just went up a little bit. So
believe it or not too, she just started her own Airbnb business. So watch out. You might have her on your podcast.
I love it.
Bring it on.
I would say I am happy with $30,000 a month. That covers everything, that allows us to travel. That gives me the full financial freedom to make decisions. So what do I do with the other 30? About 10 of it just stays within the company to make sure that we can weather some things. And then the rest of it, honestly, I'm focusing first. It's kind of plan A, plan B. Plan A is I always want to take care of my team. I'm a big believer in culture. I'm a big believer that as long as I understand what my team's needs are, I can meet them. And most of the time that's not financially, but sometimes it is. For example, we have my COO that 3 months ago, she just basically needed an advance on some things because her husband had just lost his job. And I want to take care of them. I want to make sure that that is the first thing that we're doing. Aside from that, some of them want to sit down and they want to learn how can they buy their first home, and they're not looking for extra income. They're just looking to know the strategy. And so it gives me an opportunity to be able to get to know my team and really pour into them. And so if that extra $20,000 needs to go to the team, then we're looking at that. But I at least want to have a little bit set aside because I don't like getting hit with taxes like I did this last year. So I want to go own some more real estate, add some more doors to my ownership so I can cost seg and defer a lot of those taxes.
Oh my gosh, listeners, cost segregation is a whole other episode, which we need to dial into soon because I don't think we've done an episode on that yet. But so Kyle, you've grown to 50 plus doors, 50 plus properties. Talk to us a little bit about your team structure.
Yeah.
Because I know our listeners are like, how that's a lot of Airbnb
messages.
We want
to give that transparency too of like, hey, you're not doing, I'm assuming you and your wife are not doing all this on your own.
No, I put about 2 or 3 hours a week into the business. And it's really just checking in with one person on my team. That's my COO. Her name is Dani. Dani pretty much runs my business. So she is my first person that just checks in with me on things. And that's really the only point of contact that I have to have. Then we also have a cleaning manager who just manages all of our in-house cleaners. And we have found the best way to do the business is have in-house cleaners rather than going and getting a company, because we have more control over bonusing them, making them part of the culture, right? If we have a company, it's tough to make them part of the culture because the boss of that company is very protective of them. So we like getting, you know, a stay-at-home mom or dad who just says, hey, I'm free and I want to make some more money, and we teach them our ways. So we have 12 cleaners right now. We have a quality control manager who checks the properties as often as she can to make sure that they're working appropriately. We have 3 VAs who cover the majority of the 168 hours a week that are for customer service, and then about 2 to 3 vendors per category from plumbing and electricity and all that good stuff. And one interior designer who is my wife.
Oh, love it. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the cleaners, if you don't mind, and then the VAs. Now that we know the structure, what was the order in which you hired this team out?
Yeah, the first person was my COO. I was very blessed to literally just post on Facebook and say, hey, do you know anyone that is looking to help me with some real estate related activities and has a flexible schedule between 11 to 4? Literally what I posted, an hour later, someone was tagging their cousin and I had one conversation with her and I was like, you're it, let's go. So I've found, and I think a lot of people in the industry find, that if people are willing to do the small things and do it well and do it with integrity and reliability and just nailing that one small thing, then they're more likely to take on more responsibilities. So I've started everyone in our company outside of vendors as cleaners. And if you are doing a good job with cleaning, there are growth opportunities within our company to become a quality control manager, a cleaning manager, a CEO or COO. And that's exactly what I've done, is basically just brought in people, put them in a cleaning position. They dominate that. They have opportunities to grow, or they have opportunities to make more income by doing setups and things of that nature. So that's how my COO started. That's how my cleaning manager started. That's how my quality control manager started.
I love that. What is your favorite of the trifecta? Is it co-hosting, arbitrage, or owner-operator?
I don't have a favorite. I teach that co-hosting is how you're going to grow your business the quickest. You start with arbitrage. You know, owners like that guarantee, right? They like to know, hey, I'm going to get a guarantee. Even if you don't have experience, they know, at least I'm going to sign a lease and I'm going to be able to get a guaranteed rent. And if anything happens, I can kick this person out because we have an addendum with the lease. So I like starting there. But then as soon as you start there and you do the right things by connecting with the right people, screaming to the world what you're doing. The easiest way to grow is by making owners more money than they would make with a regular rental. And so if I can make an owner way more money, call it an extra $1,000 a month, and it only costs them $10,000 to $15,000 to invest for furniture and consumables, that person sees 100% return on their investment year one. And they're like, yeah, I'm down for that. It creates this trickle-down effect of they're just going to tell all of their friends, and you just have all these inbound leads. And then when you create all that cash flow to solve that short-term problem, maybe it's leaving your job, maybe it's creating that second income so that you can travel more with your family, have more time with your family. Once you've solved that problem, now all the excess should go towards owning real estate to protect your assets and protect that income. And so that's kind of the evolution that we teach. So for that reason, I guess my favorite is owning, because that's eventually where you want to be. Mm-hmm. But my favorite for getting started is arbitrage, and favorite for growing is co-hosting.
I would say, Kyle, so our listener base is a strong owner operator listenership, cool. Right? So I want to put this on its head. We get DMs or emails that are like, I actually love my W-2. I love my job, right? But I also want to be a part of this short-term rental because I want to own real estate and I like the short-term rental model. Since a lot of your community is looking to be the operator, be the property mm-hmm. manager, be the host, what are some things that these owners can ask the potential co-host, arbitrager, property manager to weed them out from those who are really just looking to make a quick buck? What are some things that you see, even with people coming into your world, how can you tell the person who has the right mindset for longevity versus someone who's just in it for a quick dollar?
Yeah, well, let's be honest here and just say the big companies are not ones that you want, right? The Vacasas, the Turnkeys, the Avant Stay. I just stayed at one in Breckenridge at an Avant Stay.
Did.
It was horrible. Oh, it was horrible. So those are the ones that are going to promise the world and likely underdeliver, right? So I would stay away from the big ones. I would start by Googling in your area and look for the mom and pop shops. Like ours is literally named Fresno Short-Term Rentals, right? So we're specifically in that area. We're not Vacasa who serves Fresno, right? I would also personally try to avoid the ones that say, yes, I can do it nationwide. I would much rather hear someone is really great and qualified in one, two, maybe three markets because they have teams in all those markets. When people start saying I can do it nationwide, they spread themselves thin. They don't develop great relationships. For me to go and host something in Alaska, I don't have the plumber. I don't have the handyman. Mm-hmm. I don't have the runner. I don't have the cleaners. I got to just start cold calling. And that's not really an easy way to develop a relationship with your team and a culture that's going to create a team that says, I'm dropping everything to help Kyle because, you know, I'm a part of the team. So I would look for more of the mom and pop in the area. And when I say mom and pop, anything over like 100 units in one area just to me gets spread a little bit too thin. It's more about quantity than quality at that point. I would ask them what their team looks like, right? What's communication going to be like? Am I going to be talking to a new person every time? Or do I get that one connection or two connections depending on if it's a weekday or weekend of who I get to connect with to make sure that if I want to go check on my property, I can, or to make sure like, hey, I saw this night got booked at $100 and this one got booked at $200. I need some questions answered. This is the biggest thing is owners just want to be educated in the beginning to make sure that they can trust what you are doing. Like a lot of co-hosts get really disappointed or really frustrated with owners because there's so many questions. My response to that is, well, if you were going to put six figures into a house and go and furnish it and then give it over to someone, wouldn't you want to be a little educated as well? Like mm-hmm. That's going to happen. So those are the things that I think if you can have that kind of relationship where it's on speed dial, not necessarily with the person like me, I onboard an owner and I say, hey, you're going to start working with my COO, Danny. She is way more qualified at most of the things that you're going to have questions on anyway. But if she can't answer questions, she's going to come to me and we're going to get the answer for you. So I think that gives a lot of security and peace of mind for owners. And so that's the kind of people that I'd be looking for if I were you and wanting to go get a management company.
Oh, love that answer. You crush those. Yeah, for sure. And do you ever have your clients, do they ever want to do walkthroughs of your current properties or do you just show them like all of your listings? What's the best way that you show your portfolio to your potential client?
I've never had a client want to walk through a property. It's mainly just been, here's our website, here's our listings, take a look. The way that I built my business has just been off of results. So it's kind of like anything, right? Like if you're going to go try to lose 100 pounds, right? And you have a friend who lost 100 pounds with a trainer, they don't really care how the trainer did it. They just care that it happened, right? So like, I'm going to say, great, I want to lose 100 pounds. And I heard you help my friend Zach do that. So I'm going to go do that. So most of our clients say, hey, I heard you earn my friend so-and-so an extra $500, $600, $700 a month. So what do I need to do? Yep. They come very qualified most of the time. I know a lot of people out there, they're doing Google ads or they're doing outbound. And that's the kind of stuff that you need to build a little bit more of the credibility with them. But warm leads are always going to be the way to build this business. And that's how we grew really quickly.
All right. Now I want to ask you, we didn't talk about this ahead of the show. What does your Fresno short-term rental, like are you, is your direct booking site, how is that starting to play into, because I'm pretty sure you just listed on like Airbnb in the beginning. How are you starting to take more ownership of the Fresno short-term rentals and have people book direct with you?
Do you have an hour?
No, but we have some more time. So we're ready for as much as you can do.
Yeah, I would say the number one way that we're doing it is we have a sequence of emails that goes out. So we capture the email of the guest, mm-hmm. typically through the guidebook. Then once we've captured their email, we have an automated sequence of emails that goes out for the next basically 2 months, encouraging them to rebook with us on our direct booking site, 10% off. And that right there, plus a 5-star stay and giving them the experience they want, is where most of our direct bookings are coming from. Now we're starting to explore more things like getting our Google page a ton of reviews so that we can have more traffic, getting onto a lot of these insurance companies' lists so that they will call us with any of those temporary housing, connecting with more realtors who have transitional living. They sell that person's house, but that person wasn't able to buy a house in time. Now they got to live somewhere else for a month or two. We're trying to develop more relationships so that we can have, just like how we built our business was based on relationships, we want to build our client base on relationships.
Yeah. And, you know, listeners, you're going to keep hearing us take this home because no one likes to hear the whole, you know, calling or building relationships. Because another way to say that is like cold calling. But yeah. It works. Like there is nothing better. And if the picking up the phone is stressful to you, then get your butt to a bunch of networking meetings in industries that maybe you're not directly related and learn, you know, just connect with those people. Because again, putting all your eggs in the Airbnb basket is just a surefire way to, like our friend Mark Kabusi would like to say, you know, being a employee of Brian Chesky. Yeah. But okay. Absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about, you have a pretty impressive Facebook group. How did that come to be? And can you just brag a little bit about the Facebook group, how you created it, and what's going on in there?
Yeah, the how I still am trying to figure out.
Okay.
We have 100, at the moment, we have 137,000 member Facebook group, Airbnb Masterminds, the largest for hosts in the world for Airbnb. And here's just a good learning lesson. If you are serious about building a business, you need to be a person of interest. You need to be the person that people are talking about. And so what's the easiest way to do that? Well, starting a podcast, starting a YouTube channel, starting a Facebook page. Those were all the things that I did. All right. And I didn't know hardly anything about short-term rentals at the time. I just said, if I can bring all these people together and I'm the person that brings them all together, I become kind of a person of interest. So that was the only goal that I had, was just like, I just want to connect with good people. And then in March of 2021, we had 1,000 members. It had been a year. We had 1,000 members. And one day I woke up and there was 25 new requests. And I was like, why did I get 25 new requests? And I figured out they were all fake. I was like, oh, okay, well, that explains it. Then the next day I had 20 new requests from real people. And I was like, what's going on? And now ever since then, it's just like, we've had days where we've had 1,500 people requesting to get in there. And honestly, it's just a fun place to learn. You get to see a lot of really cool techniques that people are doing. I do some listing reviews in there every once in a while. I post some tips. We're going to have you live here in the Facebook group so they get to learn from other experts. And on our podcast, we get to go live in this Facebook group. And so I think there's a lot of cool engagement that people get to see absolutely for free. And that's why people continue to join, I think.
It's such a good lesson for our listeners too. Even if they don't want to become educators in this space or anything of that nature, just that business concept of becoming a person of interest. If you become the go-to short-term rental manager in your city or area, I mean, people are going to think of you. Like just today, I got a text like, hey, Sarah, do you know anyone who wants to buy this property? And I'm a licensed real estate
agent. So I can refer, you know what I mean? Like I am just, we are the go-to in our area. And so there's just not only financial gain, but it's just good for the people who work for you to have more people stay in your places. So if you think outside the box, if you think outside of just listing on Airbnb, there is like no ceiling to the amount of amazing things you can bring to your business or what you're trying to do in the space. But wouldn't you agree that even if you don't want to be an influencer in the space or an educator, that this is still a really cool concept?
It's the abundance mindset. There's no such thing as competition. There's only collaboration. I just actually brought in a new student and he's in Northern California. He said, "Hey, do I get exclusivity rights to be the only like Northern California guy in your program?" And I was like, "No, because you want other Northern California guys in there. You want to collaborate with them. That's not competition. Just because they're learning the same strategies doesn't mean that there's not enough business to go around." So you want to create relationships with those people, because here's what happens. They get a lead that they don't want to take on or don't have the capability of taking on. Who are they going to call? Mm-hmm. You. They get a guest who says, "Hey, I want to stay at your place. You're all booked up." And you can send them over there, or vice versa. They can send them to you. If there's ever regulations, right? We all want to work as one unit mm-hmm. to go down to City Hall and say, "No, like you're literally ruining lives for people by shutting this down. Let's work together." Like we need to collaborate together. We need to be teams together. And that all starts with having an abundance mindset of realizing that A, there's enough business to go around, and B, whatever you put out there is going to come back tenfold. So if you're putting out negativity, it's going to come back tenfold. If you put out positivity, it's going to come back tenfold. And I literally sat in a room in June of 2019. I was 2 months into my Airbnb business. I was making $3,000 a month. And I was sitting there watching this guy who had 30 rentals brag about the fact that he was making $5,000 a month with 30 rentals that he owned. And I was like, I'm doing that with two right now. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I have this gold that I'm just going to hold on to. And then he called out the entire room and he said, "If you have something of value, you need to be screaming it to the world, because it's going to come back tenfold. It's an abundance mindset versus scarcity." And I literally felt like he was talking straight to me. And I was just like, dude, do I really need to tell people about this? And I did. And I trusted that. And I can tell you today that 60,000 net per month would probably be about 20,000 net. The opportunity to coach hundreds of students would not be there. The ability to connect with amazing high-level people in the real estate space. Next month, I'm going to be meeting Max Maxwell over at TJ to Johnny's event. I got to meet Brent Daniels, who's one of the biggest wholesalers in the world. Like, it doesn't happen unless I actually bought into the abundance mindset. And so, yeah, it can only help.
And we'll make sure to link to Kyle's Facebook group in our show notes. Okay, Kyle, as we're wrapping up the episode, can you tell us maybe one or two of these tips that you've brought to your Facebook group that just made the group go crazy? Like, is there some stuff that you're like, "Oh my gosh, that shook the Facebook group"?
I guess just a tip for especially because you have a lot of owner operators. We had a struggle from, I want to say it was June-ish of 2020 to about March of 2021. So almost a year where we were like getting this close to losing our superhost status. And I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. And it was a combination of cleaners not being trained properly, not having any quality control in regards to going and checking on the condition of the property. And then the missing piece that really has made the biggest difference is just having an ask at the end of a stay. Mm-hmm. And so we added amazing training to our cleaners. We added a quality control manager that would go and double check some cleanings and make sure the cleaners were on track. And then we added this really cool thing that I think would be a great tip for anyone, is that we literally take a picture of the review that we're about to leave for the guest. And we say, "Hey, I just want to let you know, this is the review I'm about to leave. If you feel that," and this is the key, "if you feel that your stay was 5 stars, we would also appreciate a 5-star review as well." By doing that, and not, there's a fine line there, right? Because we can't say, "We're leaving you a 5-star review, so you should too." That's called extortion. We can't do that. We just encourage them and show them, "We thought your stay was 5 stars. And if you felt that ours was too, we're really dependent on those 5-star reviews." By doing that, and we never get any pushback from that, we have raised the bar of what we now expect. And now an average month is a 4.9-star rating. And we excel at about 4.95, where a year ago we were at 4.8 and hoping to get to 4.85. So those three things, I think, are crucial to helping you to get those 5-star reviews.
There's so many good things about what you just said, because listeners, I know, especially our listeners, Kyle, they tend to be overachievers. They're the A-plus student in the front row. And I am one of those people too. And it's tough to get that constructive criticism, even if we feel it's not deserved. So when we get those, you know, really try not to let your ego push that aside. Like, see it, digest it. Okay, you just raised the bar for me. How can I go above and beyond for that? For example, just listeners will love this. Back in the day, I got I think it was a 3-star review because I didn't have any Kleenex in my rental.
Oh.
I grew up like, you just use toilet paper. You know what I mean? So, and this is back in the day, I just didn't think of adding that extra box of, you better believe I have Kleenex in all of our rentals now. But at first I was just so upset, like the overall stay was a 3-star because I didn't have Kleenex. But it just really helped me remember that the details are what set me apart. And like, how can I dig deep into those details? So, I mean, I love that getting the 5-star review from the guest and reminding the guests, because they can sometimes, they're off to the next thing. It's not their business. And so they can sometimes forget the value of that feedback. But also digging into you wanted to raise it up by a point or whatever, to having the humility to do that, I think is what sets you apart too. And what's going to help your business and your culture at your business be like, how can we level up each and every time?
Exactly right there. I think we all have egos, right? That we have to check, especially being a business owner. If you have this mindset of like, what I say goes, you're missing out on so many opportunities in your business to get better. And so whether it's a guest, a cleaner, an employee, I'm always asking, what could we have done better? Or what do you need in order to fulfill what you expect out of this? And if I'm just asking those questions, and then I tell everyone, awareness is everything. If you're aware, now you're able to make changes. If you're aware and you're not making changes, then, you know, you got to do some digging down and decide like, wow, am I even like ready to be a business owner? Because if you know the problem and your ego is still in the way, then that's an issue. But I have learned so much on how to treat my employees just by asking them, what do you want? Like, what's going to make your job easier? What's going to make your life better? Simple questions, right? But same thing for our guests. Hey, what was it about this stay that wasn't quite 5 stars that we can do better? And if you can be open-minded to that advice, even if they're like, hey, there was no Kleenex. Okay, like, is that really worth a 3-star review? Probably not, but is it something simple for me to add in? Yeah,
absolutely.
It kind of is.
Yeah, 100%. Kyle, you're a rock star. Thank you so much for sharing just your story, your growth, and your mindset. It's going to be a really nice mindset episode, which we haven't had one of those in a minute. So we really appreciate your time. What's next for you? And where can our listeners follow you if they wanted to get connected?
What's next for me? I just, like I said, I want to own more properties. We want to go into a few more states eventually, but where people can follow me in my journey and getting connected with us, really the best place is YouTube and the podcast. That's called The Fearless Investor. And if you want to actually have a conversation with me, DM me on Instagram at Fearless Kyle. And it sounds like you guys are going to have a link to our Facebook page, which again is Airbnb Masterminds.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Kyle's a cool dude, everybody. So connect with him. He's doing awesome stuff for our industry. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus,
We will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.